Oh, thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your word lives in us, Lord. And that word is forever settled, praise God. And we know, Lord, that your word is that final authority. And that you watch over that word. Your word is light unto us. It's health unto us. And it helps us to walk, Lord, and we praise you for it. And Lord, we come this evening to glorify you. We didn't come in to boast in but one thing except you and your grace and your mercy, dear Lord. I ask a special anointing for everybody in here, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be a special night with you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that tonight that people have needs healing, healing's coming. Deliverance is coming. And freedom is coming for those who ask, Lord. And I thank you for that. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells in us, Lord, and teaches us and leads us and guides us. And we praise you for that, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight we're not going to have any problems with communications. We're not going to have any problems with anything because you're in charge. The devil's not in charge. He can't come against you. And I command them to cease their activities against everybody in here in Jesus' name for tonight's conference call. And I thank you, Lord, that there is a hedge of protection around us that they can't penetrate in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for all you're going to do tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your blood that seals and bounds every one of us, Lord. And we praise you, Father, bound to the cross of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Does anybody have a prayer request?
Michael?
Hey, Judy.
Go ahead. My husband has a sister that she'll be 95, and the doctors told her she didn't have a hip. And I think we might have prayed for her before, but I'd like to still pray for her again because she's just, you know, it's kind of hard to walk without a hip. But I know the Lord can give her one, so I just asking the Lord I'm asking you to give Margie a new hip so that she can walk and praise you for that. She's a believer and she loves you. She's still going to church as much as she can. So Lord, be with her and guide and protect her. Bring her to you every day and keep her close to you during these times. Lord, thank you so much for being with Margie and guide and protect her. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you have already taken care of Margie's health and healing 2,000 years ago. And in the name of Jesus, we command that hip to be healed in Jesus' name and for her walk to be straight. And we thank you, Lord, that she is healed, sealed, and set free. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. Anyone else? Anybody else got a prayer request or would like to pray for somebody? You know, I got a bunch of comments on what I shared last Wednesday about those seven youths that went to heaven and hell. And Eve actually had a blog that I'd like to read to you. And she named it, I Desire to Take You to the Next Level by Eve Brass. And she says, Father has been speaking to me since Thursday, saying, I desire to take you to the next level. And she says in parentheses, I believe this was the result of the message Michael shared Wednesday. He talked about the worst places in hell being reserved for those who knew the Lord and then fell back into worldly living. And it caused me to want to press in diligently to be closer to the Lord. So I prayed that he would draw me to himself like never before. And he has been honoring my request. I feel a renewed power to sacrifice my flesh and a hunger to spend every waking moment in communion with him. And a new strength to overcome worldly distractions, even though I'm working in the middle of it. Father has continued to emphasize this next level to me. So today I ask him for a word concerning this and receive Song of Solomon chapter 4 verses 9 and 10. And my finger was between the two verses and my Bible was upside down. It may be that this next level for the bride will turn things upside down with revival. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, 9 and 10. You have stolen my heart, my sister. You have stolen it, my bride, with one of your eyes, with one jewel of your necklace. How beautiful are your breasts, my sister, my bride. Your love is more fragrant than wine, and your perfume is sweeter than any spices. This is a corporate message to those who are in the bride body. He desires to take us to the next level in Him. I asked Father for a word concerning the other UBM brethren who have grown weary of running the race and fighting the good fight of the faith and have given in to faction and are not counted in the bride body any longer and received Jeremiah 23 and 10. For the land is full of adulterers, and because of them the earth lies parched. The wild pastures have dried up. The course that they run is evil, and their powers are misused. Verse 12 says, therefore the path shall turn slippery beneath their feet. They shall be dispersed in the dark and shall fall there. For I will bring disaster on them when their day of reckoning comes. This is the very word of the Lord. Can we all focus our prayer for a greater desire to go to this next level in the Lord? If we pray this with a true desire in our hearts, He's ready to grant it to us. Praise be to His holy name. Love to you all, Eve. That's where God is wanting us to go. He's wanting us to desire Him over and above anything else in our life. He's wanting us to run after Him just like the Shulamite bride ran after Solomon. That's where God wants each one of us in this days ahead. And He'll bless you. There's nothing really more important than that right now. You know, we think that we've got to do this or we've got to do that. But God says, you need me for everything. And if you run after me, everything else is going to fall into place. That's the word of God. And that's what God is telling us now, is to get as close to Him as we possibly can. She likened it to, she said that, let me think here just a minute how she put it. This was last night in a prayer meeting. She asked the Lord to put a bridle on her flesh that...
A bridle. Bridle.
Hello? Who is that? Just came in.
It's me, Michael, but I'm muted.
No, okay, no, it wasn't you. That was somebody else. Let's see. Okay, I'm going to have to mute you. All right, in order to get muted, unmuted, just hit star, star. Okay, just hit star, star. Okay, anyway, she said that she asked the Lord to bridle her flesh, that she would be the ones with the reins, you know, that she could bridle it, that He would help her. He would do it, I think is the way she put it. Anyway, she went to work, and she said it was so amazing how God did that and how He helped her in every way. She didn't get angry. She didn't get upset or anything, you know, didn't slip with the tongue or anything like that, because God had the reins. And He was showing her the whole way how easy it was to overcome when you allow Him to do everything. And I just praise God for that revelation, because That's what I want. I don't know about y'all, but I want God to run my life. I want him to be the holding the reins of the bridle to me, to my flesh, and directing traffic. Don't y'all? Amen.
Amen.
What'd y'all think about that?
Michael?
Hey, Judy, go ahead.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. But then also, I looked on the Wings of Prophecy for March 28th, and she's saying about the same thing. So I thought that was really cool. Because in the second verse, she says, I desire you would ascend to higher levels of promise with me. I desire to use you in higher levels of ministry for me, but you have not made yourself ready. You are not prepared. But he's talking about us getting to higher levels. So I thought that was pretty neat that it went right along with what she's saying.
Amen. God's sovereign, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Amen. Well, that's where he is. He says he desires to take us to the next level. Praise God. It's not something that we have to do. It's something that God wants to do in us. But we have to be willing to allow him to do it. All right, go ahead. Somebody started to talk.
Yeah, no, I just said amen. I think Debbie and I both have a strong sense in our lives individually, as well as one flesh in being called to a higher level of a personal walk.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's what we all.
This must be something that I'm just guessing that this is moving. This sense is moving across the remnant. Gotta believe that.
Yeah, Don, you're kind of breaking up a little bit. I believe you asked if this was directed to the remnant. This is actually directed to the bride, yes. This is directed to the bride. It's the chosen ones that the man-child will be coming out of. That special group of people that God accounts as righteous before the tribulation. That's where we all want to be in. And we have to run after him with all our hearts and our minds and our souls and everything we've got. Run after the Lord. And you can do it in the everyday world. You know, with your work and all of that stuff. It's what you do with your free time that counts. You know, even at work you can be praying. Even at work you can be seeking the Lord. All right. Anyone else have any comments on what Eve shared?
Yeah, I agree with what she's saying. I do that myself. I think back. I start thinking, well, where's the next step, Lord? Where are we going next? Or looking for that direction, that path, you know, a little clearer direction on where he wants to take and guide us for what's coming and how we're getting prepared. And, you know, like David said, examine yourself, looking yourself over, making sure there's nothing there that's holding you back in any way. You know, you look that over, you try to make sure there's and along the way, I don't know about you folks, but, you know, I see Satan, his attacks are coming more. And they're more directed, they're more focused on what he thinks he can use to draw you out. And I see that. And I'm not as upset about him anymore, because it used to really bother me. And I'd see something and I would think, oh, geez, you know, got to contend with that. And usually it's through other people, because he's working through others that aren't in the same, well, we're not in our fold. And they're being used by Satan in a lot of ways. And so they don't even know it. But being understanding that they're not in the group, I don't allow whatever's happening around me with other people that I know Satan's using to offend me or get under my skin or feel like I'm being drawn into anything, because I know it'd be different, say, for instance, a factious person would come into your life that is within the UBM body. That's one thing. But outside the UMBM body, there's factious people everywhere, and you're going to be exposed to that. And Satan's going to try to stir you up with that or make you feel like you're being exposed to something you shouldn't be. And you can't control that environment, but you don't have to necessarily have to, you don't have to flow with it either. It may come at you and you can redirect it, or you can walk away from it. That's just one of my instances. I'm just sharing quickly on something like that. Also, just the trials that he's going to put in front of you, your relatives. Like, we just got over, Easter this weekend? And I know about a few of you, but I was around relatives that really enjoy Easter. But I was weak to the weak, but I wasn't necessarily drawn into it either. So, in the sense that it neither was I offended. I wasn't trying to become off and be holier than thou in any way. But at the same time, I wasn't drawn into the whole gaiety of it all, and keeping my focus on the Lord. And when my opportunity came, I decided, I'll just share something once, because I've had my sister-in-law the last couple of years say Happy Easter to me, and I haven't responded back. And this time I could see it kind of put her off, so I decided to share with her a little bit after Easter about this, to show her, this is not, Easter is not a Christian holiday. It's Easter, it's Ishtar, and has a lot to do with Queen of Heaven. Just kind of give her that information and then throw it back and say, geez, it's been so many years, I'm surprised nobody in the church has figured this out by now. But not in a way it's condemning, but just like, you can search this out and see if I'm telling you the truth. It's just some of the things I've been experiencing. And I read recently, too, that some people are feeling sick and they're trying to maybe think it has something to do with, you hear about everything. You just hear so much. It might have something to do with chemtrails. Because I recently, over about a 24-hour period, that was last Wednesday night for Thursday, I got really ill. And I got well again within 24 hours, and I was kind of perturbed by it, casting it off and everything. I think I did fairly well, considering there were other people out for a week for this. But the whole idea is that all these attacks are coming, and they're looking for a way for Satan to try to knock you off your walk or make you feel like, you're missing the mark. But we're going to realize the longer we're in this, the more trials we have, they're going to be directed, a little more fronted in our face. And if we cannot be stirred up, and like Eve's talking about letting that flesh die and letting the Lord, direct this and take care of it for us, I think this is where we're going to have to be more and more in that rest if we're going to survive these times that are coming.
Amen. That's right. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody got a testimony or a praise report they'd like to share?
Yeah, Brother Michael, I have a kind of a testimony, and then I'd also like to use the call to get some prayer and get some confessing done. And so could I have some time on the call for that?
Oh, go right ahead.
All right. Well, I wrote most of this down because I journal a lot with the Lord. So if it sounds kind of like by rote or by reading, I am. But yet, it is my experience here. So I spent quite a bit of time with the Lord today. And it's kind of related to what the Lord was showing Eve. It started out that way because I started out with him basically telling him that I absolutely do want to go to the next level and, to not leave me out. And I know I had faith that he wouldn't, because he's never left me out of anything before. And I don't think he's going to start now. And I felt like the first thing that he told me to do was to, I felt like he said there was going to be some treasure for me in, one of Oswald Chambers' paragraphs. And I don't know, do you mind if I read just a little bit there? It'd probably take just a couple minutes.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so I started reading because I had missed several days in March. And I got to March 17th, and Oswald was teaching or preaching from 2 Corinthians 5:9. In the King James, I think it says, "Wherefore we labor, that we may be accepted of him." I think the ASV says, "Therefore we make it our aim to be well-pleasing unto him. And Oswald Chambers wrote then, he says, it's arduous work to keep the master ambition in front. It means holding oneself to the high ideal year in and year out, not being ambitious per se to win souls or to establish churches or to have revivals, but being ambitious only to be accepted of him. It's not lack of spiritual experience that leads to failure, but the lack of that aim to keep the ideal right. And then he said, once a week, at least, take stock before God and see whether you are keeping your life up to the standard he wishes. And when I read that part, I remembered, you know, how I know Brother David asks quite a bit for a verse, you know, from the Lord for him or about him. And I know Eve also asks for personal words quite often. And I was, you know, doing it occasionally. But anyway, that was kind of the first thing that happened in my time with him. I thought, well, yeah, I do need to seek him more just on that. And I thought, I'm going to start today, you know, right then. And so anyway, then Oswald went on to write, he says, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was like a musician who does not heed the approval of the audience if he can catch the look of approval from his master. And then he finishes with saying, any ambition which is in the tiniest degree away from this central one of being approved unto God might end in our being castaways. Learn to discern where the ambition leads, and you will see why it's so necessary to live facing the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says, lest my body should make me take another line, I'm constantly watching so that I may bring it into subjection and keep it under. And that's from 1 Corinthians 9:27. He finishes by saying, I have to learn to relate everything to the master ambition and then to maintain it without ceasing. My worth to God in public is what I am in private. Is my master ambition to please him and be acceptable to him, or is it something less, no matter how noble? And like I said, when I finished reading that, I mean, I just knew that it was for me today. You know, I had asked the Lord that I wanted to go to the next level, and that's where the Lord directed me to read that and, you know, those verses in that. So then I asked the Lord, well, okay, Father. Oh, and here's the next thing that happened then. So on the Sunday broadcast, I was listening to it too, and I can't remember exactly which happened first or which happened second, but they was kind of all in there. And I had jotted this down on an index card where Brother David had said in the Sunday broadcast, where are you? Where do you need to be? Find out what's wrong and then do something about it. And so I just thought that so went in line with, you know, seeking the Lord just on specifics. And so anyway, I told the Lord, Lord, I want to be like Paul. I don't care about the audience. I only care about you and your approval. And so, Father, right now, give me a verse right now to tell me where I am. And, you know, and then, of course, I know that by your grace, you'll help me do something about it. And, well, my finger landed in Revelation in the Church of Ephesus, starting with Revelation 2:2. And I'll read a few verses here. This is what the Lord said for me today. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and are found liars. And 3 says, and you have borne and have patience. For my name's sake, you have labored and have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And he that hath an ear, let him hear. To him that overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So, are you still there, Brother Michael?
Yeah, I'm listening to this wonderful testimony.
Okay, I'm sorry, but it's my old phone. My old phone had the habit of dropping. And so every once in a while when I'm talking with someone and I don't hear anything, I ask them that they're still there. But okay, I'll go ahead then. So this really, really hit me strongly, of course. But you know what? I knew that the Lord was true. You know, let the Lord be true and every man a liar. And I had been, I think, probably not wanting to face that somehow or another I had, like, lost my first love. And I think that's talking about just the basic love of Jesus and the Word, right? I mean, that would be what leaving your first love is. And like I said, I had not been wanting to face it, but I knew that God was telling me what had happened. And I've been having some issues with my eyes, and I haven't been reading enough. And I know that you can listen now, but God help me, he really didn't make me as a listener as much as a reader. That's always my first method of, you know, seeking to learn and receive. And so I do need some prayer about, you know, that whole thing of my eyes and helping me in that way. But I know it's not about eyes, and besides, I mean, we are overcomers. He helps us to be overcomers. So I know it was more than just some function of the body. I think it was just a spirit thing of, you know, that some cause coming on me about that. But I do repent of that, absolutely. And I believe that the Lord has received this repentance. I did repent privately earlier, but I felt like I wanted to do it with at least one person, because, you know, to confess your sins one to another and pray with one another, and you shall be healed. And so, God, I thank you for forgiving me my lapsing from my first love, which is just and only Jesus, and in every form and in every way. And God, I just thank you for restoring that to me. I remember when I was just completely new baby Christian 27 years ago, I could not wait to go to the McDonald's Playland every morning, because Caroline was just a baby. And I would get out of the house so I wouldn't see the work there. But I would get out of the house and take Caroline to the McDonald's Playland in her little infant seat. And I would just sit there for hours and drink in the Word. And somehow or another, it's just slipped from me. And I'm just believing tonight that it's being restored back to me. You know, that desire to just, you know, be in it, be in Jesus and be in Jesus's words for, you know, hours on end. And so I just wanted to just let you all know what had happened. But, I mean, I believe, you know, I just believe this is what I needed. And I'm so thankful to the Lord for showing me and for, you know, giving me loving correction on it and for giving me the grace to, you know, go in that other direction. And that's all I need to say. Or, I mean, I think that's it. Anyone else, if they would like to pray, I would, you know, love to receive that. But anyway, that's up to you, Brother Michael. Back to you.
All right. Well, thank you, Pamela. That was awesome. And I'm sure there's more than just yourself out there that is feeling the same thing. I know I am. And, Father, let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for correcting us. I thank you for your words that you give to people that do show us where we are and what you desire out of us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for putting that desire in us to do the things that you want us to do, Lord, and to go back to the basics and get back in the Word and to keep renewing our mind all the time with that Word of God. And Father, I thank you that you're going to do that for all of us, that you're going to place that hunger in us for the Word of God like we've never experienced before. Lord, we need that, and I ask for it for everybody in here and for myself as well, that you'd put that hunger and desire in us to run after you, Lord, with all our hearts and all our desires and all of our minds and all of our strength, Lord. And I ask that in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I come against those mind-binding spirits. I come against the wandering, mind-wandering spirits that when we sit down and open that book, that they won't have any say in the matter. Father, we thank you for coming against them. And Lord, we thank you that you have cleansed the air for the times when we sit down and read your word. And Father, we thank you for making it a daily thing for each one of us. Even if we have to sacrifice our time to get in the word, Lord, I ask that you show us that it is imperative that we do get in your word, Lord, and that we do seek and run after you, Lord. Amen. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank
Anybody
you,
else want to pray? Yeah, Pamela, go ahead.
Oh, I was just wanting to agree with you, and thank you for that. And I'm just praying, Lord, I would like to have a Bible that's easier to read. Father, I just thank you for providing that. And I just believe you for every resource that I would need or anyone else. But really, it's more than just resources, Lord. It's much greater than resources because, you know, you're the God of all resource. And so we just, like, humbly asking you, like Brother Michael did, say, Lord, we just trust you to do this thing. You have to do it, Lord. We can't do it. But we know that you're more than able. So thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else want to pray?
I will if I could. Did somebody else go ahead?
Oh, you go ahead, Dave.
What I was impressed with what you had to say, Pamela, was also, and I think maybe some of us capture this idea along with what you read, is that sometimes we just neglect our love enough for the Lord, and we get captured into this, even reading and proofing and finding, you know, getting to defend the gospel in the way, which I do in a lot of things, just to make sure I'm covered well. But in doing that, it seems like it draws me away from the love of the Lord. Even though you might have your doctrines right and your T's crossed and your I's dotted, you're not really falling in love with the Lord doing that. So I just want to pray for that. Father, in Jesus, we want to say we do love you. We do love you with all our heart, but we want to be drawn closer now than ever. Forgive us for having coldness that would have impeded our walk with you, would get in the way and not allow us to draw as close as we need to. Lord, knock down that wall of separation. Allow us to open up and come in and dwell in your presence. And that is to walk in love with you and love with others. Lord, we sometimes get so involved with the work of the ministry and just with our regular everyday activities. We think we're having our walk with you, but we're still distant. We're not as close as we'd like to be. We know in our hearts that we want to be. So Lord, I ask that you allow us to get closer, and whatever is pulling us or drawing us away from you, Lord, expose that so that we can remove the hindrance, Lord. And I thank you so much for loving us and caring for us and dying on the cross for us and taking away our sins and allowing us to have this ability to come and dwell in your midst. Thank you, Father, and thank you, Jesus, so very much. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else want to pray or comment about what we're talking about here?
Yes, sir. I'd like to add to the prayer, Mike.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Well, Heavenly Father, Lord, holy, holy, holy are you, Father, and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for Pamela's testimony. We thank you for her repentance. Father, I pray that you'll make us all each and every day have a repentant heart. Father, thank you for the correction. Thank you for speaking clearly. And thank you so much for sending Jesus, Father. We love you. You are so holy, and we thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else would like to comment or pray? I desire to take you to the next level. How many of you want to go to the next level?
Amen.
Amen. I certainly do. Pamela does. David does.
I'm sure.
Amen. I'm sure everybody in here wants to go to that next level. You know what it takes? It takes sacrifice to go. Sacrifice of self and world. That's the two things God's trying to get rid of in each one of us. Praise God. Well, I was going to, has anybody got any testimonies or praise reports that they would like to share? You know, what Pamela shared there helped me and it helped others. That's what confession and talking about it with your brothers and sisters does. It encourages other people. Well, look, we're all in the same boat together, hopefully. You know, we all want to and desire that God take us to that next level. And with testimonies like that and confessions like that and then getting in the Word and finding out what God thinks about us, oh my, that helped me. I hope it helped everybody out there. Praise God. All right, anybody got a testimony or praise report they'd like to share or comment or whatever?
Michael, Joe, yeah?
Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Lord, talking about my... I have to confess, my prayer life is not what it should be. I know the Lord showed to me, and my reading and all, it's not too bad, but I think my prayer life is not what it used to be. I should like some prayer, please, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir. Matter of fact, that was something I was going to talk a little bit about tonight is prayer life. Father, we just thank you that Joe and all of us, Lord, I'm just praying for everybody too, because I know that a lot of times we forget those prayers that we needed to be praying about, the people that we need to be praying about, Lord. But I ask, Lord, that you step it up in each one of us, because Lord, it's not only the Word that keeps us in tune with you, it's also talking with you. and having that personal relationship with you, Lord, that matures us, each one of us. It's those two things alone that we found out, Lord, that matures your believers, your brothers and sisters, Lord. And we just ask and pray, Lord, that you place it in all of our hearts to pray more, and to seek you more, and to listen to you, Lord, more. And Father, we thank you that you're going to do that for Joe and Nora and the rest of us, Lord. And I praise you, Lord, because I know that when we pray as a unit, that our prayers are answered, because we've seen it happen time and time again, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that you would place it in all of our hearts to do more of it for our brothers and sisters and ourselves and for you, Lord, because you like to converse with us as well. And Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in Joe and Nora both. Thank you, Lord, that you're making powerful intercessors out of them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else?
Hello, Michael.
Hi, Gaino.
I was just wanting to share something that the Lord gave me this morning, and really the word that I got after I got the picture was, it really goes along with what Pamela was speaking and all of the rest of you also, about just, you know, pursuing him just intensely. I just got like one scene, and it seemed to go along with the dream that I had a week ago or so. But this was kind of a troubling scene for me. You know, that's how I perceived it. This morning I just saw one scene, and it was an extra large red and black rooster. And there was also a black cobra that was coiled up and ready to strike. He had his head up in the air and waving it back and forth. And this rooster and this snake were in the dugout part of the shed that I spoke of in the dream I had last week. And they were both acting very aggressively, and they were in front of the generator, you know, that we would start up so that we would have a couple lights in the house. And that was really all I saw, but it was kind of an intimidating sight. And my first thought was, that's Satan. And then I thought that first thing I thought of seeing those two things was about persecution, because I guess we've just been receiving so many things in the mail about the persecution, you know, that is abroad, and we don't hear of it so much here, but it is abroad just so much. But the feeling that I was getting was that people are not diligently seeking, people that are not diligently seeking the Lord will be taken out, as Satan knows the season and that his time is short. He's not going to give up without a fight. He will pursue anyone and everyone to keep them from the light. He is ready for a fight and will fight to the end and do whatever he feels is necessary. And then later on in the morning, I guess this was kind of on my mind, and then later on in the morning, this is what I felt he was saying. This is a time for believers to be intense in their pursuit of God and his righteousness. They must seek him with all their heart and soul, that they faint not, know him in his truth and purity, that they not be taken in by false teachers that would give them a false sense of security. This is not a time to take the Lord lightly. The world is full of darkness, and it is getting darker and darker. Evil is abounding in greater depth each day. Religious freedom is going by the wayside at a breakneck speed. Only those truly seeking the Lord will overcome. He is desiring our sincere allegiance to him alone, and not to be worshipped in competition with all the idols of the world. And the invitation of come to me, I heard it a couple of times, and there was a sternness, you know, in his voice, and it reminded me of, you know, when sometimes when a storm is coming, and as parents, we holler at our kids and we tell them, come on, you need to get to the house, there's a storm. And sometimes they can dawdle around, you know, and not hurry up. But it just seemed that, you know, he had just a seriousness in his voice. And, you know, I know that that would come from the love that he has for his people. And even though it sounded stern, it's because it's his agape love. And there has not been a more serious time than now to seek the Lord, to know him as he truly is, to repent and believe, submit to him alone, and be obedient in all he calls his people to do. He is a rewarder of those who truly seek him. He will bless them with his joy and peace, regardless of the trial they may be facing. His invitation is to come to him and rest in his care. And I did ask for a couple verses, and the first one, I just thought, oh, goodness, I don't see how it goes. But I just know, you know, he wants those of us who do know him to share what we know with others, you know, that may be kind of lagging behind, and just to encourage them. I got Mark 10, verse 44, and I was also going to read 45. And whosoever would be first among you shall be servant of all. For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And then, you know, it just, he doesn't want us to just sit there and be a spectator. He doesn't want us to be idle. He wants us to serve him in the way that he would have us serve him. And, you know, and first of all, we have to know him, and that we bear fruit before we can be of any service to him. And the second scripture I got was from Zephaniah 2, and that one, above that, I had written persecution of Christians, so that one really did go with what I felt I was, you know, what the picture I got when I felt that was a representation of persecution. And the whole chapter is really good. I won't go through to read it, but boy, chapter 2 and chapter 3, you know, it is really good. The verse that I put my hands on was verse 9. I'll read just a couple verses from Zephaniah chapter 2. I have heard the reproach of Moab and the revilings of the children of Ammon, wherewith they have reproached my people and magnified themselves against their border. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah, a possession of nettles and salt pits, and a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall make a prey of them, and the remnant of my nation shall inherit them. And he goes on to say that those people, those who persecute his people and come against them, that it is he who will destroy them. In later verses down there, he will make a desolation and a wilderness of them. And I just really believe that this is, I guess in my spirit, I just felt this is just such, this is such a time to pursue the Lord, you know, just daily. And that's what Pamela was saying she was getting, as well as many of the rest of you too. And that's what's in my heart too. It's just so important, because there's darkness coming. And the things that we can be around right now, they may be gone very shortly. And we just need to just fill ourselves up each day and just thank the Lord for, you know, for him talking to us. Now, Pamela was saying what he told her, and I got a verse yesterday, and it was about judging, you know. But art thou the judge? Do judge your neighbor? And it's like, that was from James, I guess. And it's like, well, I've been trying not to, but apparently I'm not. I'm still doing it. That's what I felt he was showing me there. So I thank him for showing us those things, because he does it because he loves us, and he wants us to get it right. And I guess that's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Yeah, what verses did you share in Zephaniah 2?
what verses did I share?
Yeah.
I shared Mark 10:44 and 45, and then in Zephaniah. Actually, I read chapter 2 and chapter 3, but it's a long. But my finger was on Zephaniah 2:9, but it's kind of in the midst of something, and so it kind of makes more sense to read more verses.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to read 1 and 2, and 3. To kind of give them a sense of what's going on.
Okay, yes, I read those too, and I thought, I read all that too, and I didn't know where to start.
Yeah, that's okay. Okay, it says, gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation that hath no shame, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth that have kept his ordinances. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be you will be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Well, praise God. That's what we've been talking about here. That's what God's been warning us about, is to desire him above everything else. Run after him, praise God. That was good, Gaynell. Thank you. That's right in line with what we're talking about tonight. Thank you, Lord.
That's what I was thinking as you were all sharing. I thought, my goodness, he just gave me words that went right in with all you, the rest of you. That's pretty awesome when he does that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. He is so sovereign. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share on what we're talking about here?
Yeah, Michael. This is Deb.
And, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
When I go into prayer, and the Lord has blessed me with a very strong prayer life, and I'm so appreciative of it to know Him in that way. But when I go into prayer, I keep in mind the Old Testament picture of the tabernacle and the different stations that people had to go through with the brazen laver and the washing and all of that. And I think about that when I come to the Lord, and I'm very deliberate in asking the Holy Spirit to reveal anything in my life and to clean the cup, so to speak, so that when I go into His presence and I'm utilizing, or I'm taking everything that Christ did, and I'm walking in it, and I'm very deliberate about that, so that when I'm in His presence, I can be confident and be standing in His presence, and then worship, and then pray. The things that are on my heart, I will pray as the Spirit leads, but for the most part, I ask Him what's on His heart. And then He leads me as far as how to pray it, what to pray, how long to pray. All of that He has shown me as I've been diligent to just get before Him and spend that time. So I say that to support Paula. And the other thought that I had, too, about our first love, when we think about when we're first saved, we have that little honeymoon fun time, and it's just amazing. We love the Lord, and we just can't get enough of Him. It was kind of like how I felt about my husband when we first met. And then your marriage, you have kids, and then you're raising children, and that romance kind of wanes a little bit. And we were just talking about this the other day, about how our love for each other has matured and how we have an intimacy now in the Lord that we never had. And that intimacy that we have in our relationship is so tight that I know in my spirit when He's grieved. And I feel it in my spirit. Nobody has to say to me, oh, you need to pray for Don today because he's struggling. I know it. And so that's kind of how we know the Lord, too. When something is on the Lord's heart, we pray it. And I just wanted to say that the more we know Him, the more we spend time with Him, the more we pray, the more intimate we get with Him, that's the love that we will establish with Him, just like I said, in our marriage.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, that's right. Amen. Well, this is good tonight. This is good. Okay, anyone else like to add anything to what we're talking about here? How's your prayer life? Yeah, go ahead.
Brother Michael, it's Pamela again, but I had some things to add to Gaynold's like second edition or whatever of her dream. Well, first of all, I thought it was very interesting that the Lord gave her for that Mark 10:24, the same verse that he gave me just a few days ago when I was asking him about prayer life and, you know, ministering in the prayer life. He also gave me Mark 10:24. And secondly, the Zephaniah passage that he gave Gaynold about the dream, just it was remarkable because when she was reading it and I was like putting myself in the dream and seeing those, you know, animals that she saw that I think represented spirits, I really think the red and black rooster, the cock, you know, meaning arrogance and pride and everything, I really felt that that represented faction. And the cobra, you know, cobras are from the east. And I really felt strongly that that represented false religion or false revival spirits. And, you know, those are the two biggies that have been coming against the remnant. And, of course, they want to be at the power supply, the generator, you know. And so I just, that struck me when she was describing the, you know, the animals there that I just, like, felt were spirits. And I mean, I think Gaynold was feeling that too. And then when she started reading Zephaniah that the Lord gave her, the weird part was, you know, she was talking about in Zephaniah about magnifying themselves and this they shall have for their pride. But if you think about it, well, that's exactly what roosters and cobras both do when they, like when the cobra spreads its neck, you know, it's magnifying itself. When the rooster spreads its feathers, you know, how they can all spread all out like that, that's magnifying themselves. And it was just an amazing picture that I got as Gaynold was speaking about what those spirits do to just try to look all big and bad and magnify themselves. But the Lord is, you know, he's got it all handled. So I'm just so thankful for that. But anyway, I just, that Gaynold's dream, I just thank you, Gaynold, for sharing that. I just felt like it's so on for, I mean, I'm not saying that's the interpretation, but that's sure what I was getting out of it. And anyway, it blessed me. So thank you. That's it.
Thank you, Pamela. Thank you very much. I really enjoyed what you had to say. It just, I can see that as so being so true. Thank you again.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That was good. Lord, anybody else got any comments? Okay. I was going to share this last week, but I didn't get time to. So I thought that I would share it today. You know, I don't even remember where I got it, but I liked it so well that I thought I'd share it with y'all. And it's about the armor of God. And it's somebody's prayer that they gave with it. And if y'all don't mind, I'm going to recite this. And he starts out and he says, Father God, you are awe-inspiring. You are magnificent and mighty. Your name holds more authority than I could ever conceive. You are stronger than I could ever dream. You are wiser than I could ever comprehend. You are more loving and compassionate than I could ever imagine. You are God. You are above all. Thank you for the powerful armor that you give to me. Then he says, I come this day to put on the belt of truth. I acknowledge that I need truth. I need to be dedicated to truth. and I need to follow the truth of your word. Lord, I need to make reading your word a priority in my life. If I sincerely open my mind to your word, then I will see the truth about what I need to increase in my life and what I need to decrease in my life. As I am praying this prayer, I realize that the enemy of my soul wants to condemn me for my failures. I declare that I will not let the enemy condemn me for my lack of success, because you are pleased with me when I try. You want me to learn to be content in doing my best. You want me to love myself anyway, just as you do. And I put on the breastplate of righteousness. I acknowledge that I am able to wear this breastplate because Jesus took my sin and gave me his righteousness. Lord, I will remind myself today of the enormous price Jesus paid so that I could be set free. Jesus did not take sin lightly, and I will not take sin lightly. I will show my respect for you, Lord, by seeking to obey you and seeking to please you this day. I put on the shoes of peace, and I thank you for the peace I have about my future home in heaven. I feel restful and serene when I think about the glorious place where I will spend eternity. Jesus told us that he gives us his peace, Father God. I want to feel peace in my daily life. I want to feel calm and content as I move through my name. And by the power of Jesus Christ, I declare that today I will grow in my ability to live in peace. I will reject worry and fear. I will remember to trust you through all the circumstances of my day. I will not be moved by what I see or hear. I will be moved by what the Word of God says. Your promises are true. Your promises are backed by the honor of your name. I put on the helmet of salvation, and I thank you for my eternal salvation. I thank you for the saving power of Jesus Christ that daily works in my life, helping me to defeat sin and helping me to put on the love of Christ. Thank you that you are renewing my mind and showing me how to defeat my wrong thoughts and wrong attitudes. Thank you that you are taking me from the way I have always been to the godly way I can be through the power of Jesus Christ. I pick up the shield of faith. I will feed my faith today. My faith will grow stronger this day. I will meditate on your promises to take care of me. When the enemy sends fiery darts my way in order to discourage me or to get me to doubt you, I will raise my shield of faith and deflect his attacks. My shield is a shield of confidence that you, God, are able to take care of me. I will continually remind myself of your faithfulness. Lord, I will be unwavering in my devotion to you this day. And I pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I will give voice to the Word of God today. I will become more and more comfortable speaking out Scripture. Lord, I will remind myself that when I speak your Scriptures, your power is unleashed. You have given believers words that will change the world. And Lord, I dedicate my mouth to you. I want all my words to please you. Help me to gain greater control over my tongue. And I declare that today I will use my tongue to bless others, and I will avoid strife and unnecessary conflict. And Father, as I leave this time of prayer, I am going to be a freshly focused follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. Boy, that's a powerful prayer there, y'all. I think I'll blog that if y'all want it.
Yes, please.
All right.
Yes, please.
All right, I'll send it to all of you on that UBM conference call. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's a good one. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to share?
Michael?
Yes, sir.
John, just an encouragement to the group in this particular area. One of David's series that has blessed me the most in this area of prayer is Grace to Walk in the Word. It's a 5-part series. And if people haven't listened to that, man, it would be just powerful in this area of just picking up the Word and praying it. And it's based upon Psalm 119. Very powerful. Just thought I'd let you know.
Amen. That's a wonderful book. Yes, it is. Matter of fact, I was looking at that the other day.
Yep.
All right. Anybody else?
Michael, do you have a written copy of that, what you shared the other night, on the 7 guys that the Lord took to hell, to show them hell? Do you have a written copy of that?
You can get it on site. Yeah, it's in PDF, or you can get it in HTML, which will download to Microsoft Word.
We're not very much computer people. We don't know how to get it off of there.
Yeah.
Could you send that to us?
I will. Let me make a note here right quick.
Okay, thank you.
All right, anybody else? You know, I even think I got it downloaded on my computer, Marlon, so it ain't going to be no big deal. Okay, anyone else got anything they'd like to share? It's been a good night.
Michael.
Hey, Jackie. How are you doing, girl?
I'm doing better, praise God. Thank
Amen.
You. You had asked me to remind you about communion to bring up if you didn't bring it up, so it just popped in my head, so the Lord must have wanted me to remind you.
Okay, all right. How many of you would like to do communion Thursday night? If y'all would like to do communion, we can do it Thursday night or we can do it next Tuesday, whichever one is more convenient for you.
Well, if you're asking for a vote, John and Debbie would be Tuesday night.
That would be great.
What day did you say?
Tuesday.
Okay, Tuesday. Okay. All right. Well, then, has anybody else got any? Is Tuesday okay with everybody? We'll just do it. And maybe I can get David to come on and share it with you, like we did the last time.
Gosh, amen. That'd be nice.
That's been a while back, hasn't it? that's been 3 or 4 years ago. All right, yeah. All right. Well, let's schedule communion for next Tuesday night. All right, let me put that down. And I'll blog it. And unblog it. When I say I'll blog it, I will send everybody an email and remind you that we're going to have it next Tuesday. Okay, anybody else? Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you, brother.
You know, I've been reading. I like Andrew Murray. I love to just read him. He's he was real knowledgeable and had some lot of wisdom. And I want to talk a little bit about what he talks about as the model prayer in his book called The Ministry of Intercessory Prayer. And most of this is coming out of chapter 13. And he talks about the Lord and how he went to prayer and all this other. So let's just go and see what he has to say. First, he quotes Acts 9:1-1, 9:11. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And then 1 Timothy 1:16. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. And he goes on, he says, God took his own son and he made him our example and our model. And sometimes it seems as if the power of Christ's example is lost in the thought that he, in whom there is no sin, is not a man as we are. Our Lord took Paul, a man of like passions with ourselves, and made him a model of what Christ could do for one who called himself the chief of sinners. And Paul, the man who more than any other has left his mark on the church, has ever after been appealed to as a model. In his mastery of divine truth and his teaching of it, in his devotion to his Lord, and his self-consuming zeal in his service, in his deep experience of the power of the indwelling Christ and the fellowship of his cross, in the sincerity of his humility and the simplicity and boldness of his faith, in his missionary enthusiasm and endurance, in all this and more, the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant in him. Christ gave Paul, and the church has accepted him as a model of what Christ desires in his disciples. Six times, Paul speaks of believers following him. In 1 Corinthians 4:16, he says, therefore I urge you to imitate me. 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Philippians 3:17, join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. Philippians 4:9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 3:7-9. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we don't have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. And he goes on, he says, if Paul as a model of prayer is not as much studied or appealed to as he is in other respects, it's not because he's not a remarkable proof of what grace can do, neither is it because we do not in this respect stand in need of help of his example. And a study of Paul as a model of prayer will bring a rich reward of instruction and encouragement. The words of our Lord used of him at his conversion, he is praying, may be taken as the keynote of Paul's life. The heavenly vision that brought him to his knees ruled his life ever after. Christ at the right hand of God, in whom we are blessed with all spiritual blessings, was everything to Paul. Prayer and the expectation of heavenly power in his work and on his work was the simple outcome of Paul's faith in the glorified one. And in this too, Christ meant him to be a model by whom we might learn that exactly in the measure in which the heavenliness of Christ and his gifts and the otherworldliness of the powers that work for salvation are known and believed, will prayer become the spontaneous rising of the heart to the only source of its life. You know, Paul reveals his prayer habits almost unconsciously. He writes in Romans chapter 1, 9 through 11, God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. Then over in Romans chapter 10, verses 1, and then chapter 9, verses 2 and 3, he says, Brothers, my heart desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers. 1 Corinthians 1 and 4 says, I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance in troubles, hardship, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. Galatians 4:19 says, My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, in Ephesians 1 and 14. And for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that ye may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. And he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray for joy. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Philippians 1. 3 and 4 and 8 and 11 through 11. He says, We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints. And he goes on and on and on. There are a number of passages in here where Paul is praying the prayer for the people. Hang on just a second. He's always praying for the people, and that's what God wants us to do, don't you think? And all of these passages, if you take them together, they give us a picture of a man who says, I pray without ceasing. That was an expression of his daily walk with God. He saw the need of praying unceasingly day and night so that the Holy Spirit would come down and honor his prayers. And he was very specific. If you look in all of those scriptures that we quoted, he was very specific in his prayer life. We talked about that last week a little bit. You know, Paul knew that everything that was going to get done had to come from above. And he had to use our faith in order to answer the prayers. And he talked like the prayer was not a duty and it wasn't a burden. It was just a natural turning of the heart to the only place where it could possibly obtain what he sought for others. In other words, what he prayed for others. He knew that the only way that God could that they could be helped was from God. And when we get that sense of urgency for other people, then we'll be a good intercessor. And if you look at the things that he prayed about and how frequently he did it and how earnestly he did it, that he was an intercessor. And that's what God wants us to do. He's wanting us to pray and intercede for the people around us and the things. He wants us to daily walk and talk with him. Just like we've been talking about all night long. To daily walk and talk with the Lord. A lot of times, I'll take those prayers of Paul and put them in the first person. I don't know if y'all ever done that before, but I'll do that, you know. Like the one, let's see, here's one right here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, 12 and 13. He says, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts, so you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God. And if you put that in the first person, you say, Lord, make my love increase and overflow for all of my brothers and sisters and for everybody else, just as ours does for you. And Lord, strengthen my heart so that I'll be blameless and holy in the presence of you. You see, put it in the first person and pray those prayers. God will honor them. Amen. Anybody got anything they'd like to add to this prayer life that we need, that God wants us to have?
My brother Michael.
Yes, go ahead.
It's Pamela. Yeah, you were talking about putting things in the first person, and that reminded me of something I was led to do some time ago. You know, just to, again, just kind of foster that whole truth that it is a personal walk and a personal relationship. I went into the New Testament and all the letters, you know, because a letter is to someone and from someone else, right? Well, like in all the letters, I'm looking right now at 2 Peter. In my white space there at the first of the letter, I wrote in all of them, like this one says, from Peter to Pamela. So it's just a little something, but you were talking about first person, and that reminded me of that. It just, it helps me, you know, to see my name written in there, that's to me, you know. That's all.
Well, amen. That's right. Praise God. Another man of prayer. I don't know if y'all ever heard of E.M. Bounds. Boy, that guy was a praying guy, too. He said this thing. He said, prayer has to do with the entire man. Prayer takes in man in his whole being, mind, soul, and body. It takes the whole man to pray. and prayer affects the entire man in its gracious results. Amen. Has anybody got any thoughts on how to do your prayer life? I know it's our business to pray. It's godly business, and it takes godly men to do it, and godly men and women to do it. And it's godly men and women who give themselves over entirely to prayer. And boy, when you do, it has a lot of, it's far-reaching influence. Here's what E.M. Bounds says, this little thing here. He says, no half-hearted, half-brained, half-spirited effort will do for this serious, all-important heavenly business. The whole heart, the whole brain, the whole spirit must be in the matter of praying, which is so mightily to affect the characters and destinies of men. And that's so true, you know. I remember we talked about G.C. Bevington last week a little bit. And if you remember, this man would stay out there until he got an answer from God. I mean, he'd liable to den up in a log. He did that more than once. He did it once for 10 days until he knew for certain that his prayer was going to be answered. And he got fed three times a day by squirrels throwing acorns down a knot hole to him. That's the way God wants us to do. Now, we don't have to do that. We know that if we pray in faith, that God's going to answer our prayers. He was praying the prayer of importunity, which is praying until you see something happens. But if we pray in faith, and we believe what we pray is going to be answered, it's going to be answered. But I love to read those old stories about him and how he would stay with it until he knew that something was going to happen. Time and time again, you know, he'd be praying for days on end until God moved on him and showed him that he'd gotten a victory. And, you know, that's the determination that we all ought to have. And that actually, we all, when we go into prayer, just like Andrew Murray was talking about, we need to go in there with our whole being and just settle down and allow God to talk with us, you know. Go in there like Deb was talking about and praise him and, you know, just like the model prayer that Jesus gave it, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That was the first thing he did, you know. He praised God for being holy. And that's what God wants us to do. Hallowed is thy name. And then you just be quiet and listen for God to move on you. And once he moves on you, you know that when you pray, your prayers are going to be answered. Praise God. This praying life is not a flippant little sentence that you think you have to say in order to please God. No, it's to do it. Here's what E.M. Bounds says in this little poem. Listen to this, and this says it all in four little sentences. He says, 'Tis not enough to bend the knee and words of prayer to say. The heart must with the lips agree, or else we do not pray. It's not a light and trifling exercise, is it? Prayer draws the whole nature of man under God. Prayer engages all the power of man's moral and spiritual nature, Bounds says. Praise God. It takes all of us to get the prayers answered. And we just have to know that when we pray, that your prayers will be answered. Never let the world break in. Fix a mighty gulf between. Keep me humble and unknown. Prized and loved by God alone. Too many times, Christians want to be known by everybody, don't they? Listen to this little parody here. If two angels were to receive at the same moment a commission from God, one to go down and rule Earth's grandest empire, the other to go and sweep the streets of its meanest village, it would be a matter of entire indifference to each which service fell to his lot. The post of ruler or the post of scavenger, for the joy of the angels lies only in obedience to God's will. And with equal joy, they would lift a Lazarus in his rags to Abraham's bosom, or be a chariot of fire to carry an Elijah home. John Newton said that, and that just encapsulates the whole thing right there. It shouldn't make any difference what God's got us doing. Doesn't make any difference as long as we're obedient to Him. That should be our will, is to be obedient to God. That God says, if you obey me, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Amen. All right, has anybody got anything else they'd like to put in on this prayer thing?
Yeah, Michael.
Hey, go ahead.
Yeah, several years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer right out of the blue. And my husband went in, told his boss, and was promptly downsized a month later. We had all of our insurance through him, so they didn't have insurance where I worked. And that was a real pivotal point in both Don's and my life. At that point, we were both analyzing our Christian walk. And I thought that I was, you know, pretty committed and everything was pretty cool and groovy. And then when that diagnosis came and we had to analyze our life, that's when we realized, you know, where we really were. We had to deal with a lot of, just a lot of things. And it was during that time, I personally struggled a lot because I didn't believe that a Christian should be having cancer. And so what we figured it out was like 6 months, I spent hours, and Don will tell you, hours and hours before God, asking for healing and seeking Him for healing. Middle of the night, I'd be seeking Him for healing, and the pain got pretty bad. And it got to the point where we had to do the chemo and radiation because there wasn't any other alternative. And I believed God for healing right up until I had to do the chemo and the radiation. And I had no idea that God wanted to take us through that Job experience. And when the pain got so bad at like 4 in the morning and there was nobody but God, He was always faithful, always. And I spend almost most of the night on my face before Him, and that's what transformed my prayer life, because I had to deal with a lot of the unbelief that I had in my heart that I had no idea was there, a lot of concepts and a lot of things that I thought were all challenged at that moment. And what was I going to believe? Was I going to believe my circumstances, or was I going to believe in God? Was I going to believe His word? Was I going to believe what I was going through? And all of those things I had to, you know, we faced together. And God used that experience mightily in our lives. And it changed, like I said, that's what changed my prayer life. And I'm so thankful for it. And would I want to go through it again? Not on a physical level, but on a spiritual level, a million times over I would, because of how it transformed my life with Him. And I've come to know Him in a way and trust Him in a way that I never would have prior to that experience. And so for everyone listening, deal with those unbeliefs, deal with those things, press in, seek God while He may be fine, knock, and be that persistent widow, because God is so faithful. And you know, like your little thing about the pearls, that's exactly what God did for us. And through the hardest of times, He was the greatest God.
Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, sometimes it takes taking us all the way down before we understand about God. Oh, Praise be to God. You know, Deb, I would like some time for you to give your testimony, if you wouldn't mind.
I'd be happy to.
Okay. Just whenever you're ready, you know, you could just go for it, girl. Anybody else, as far as that goes? So many times we've prayed for people that were terminal cancer cases, and God healed them. And then what would happen is that they would fall back into unbelief and fear, and then that stuff would come back on them and take them out. Praise God, we got people who believe. When they take you down, when God takes you down to that place to where you can't do anything, you're at your weakest. David has a study called Weakness, the Way to God's Power. And apparently that's where he took y'all. When you get down there to that point where nothing else can help you, only God, that's where he's looking for, then he'll do mighty miracles for you. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead. Amen. Anybody else? On prayer. You know, the thing that brings that, the prayer, the praying soul, nearest to God, is that humility of heart. That lowliness of mind. That really gives you access to the throne of grace. It's when your pride goes out the window, your self-esteem goes out the window, your self-praise goes out the window. When you humble yourself, get down on your knees, prostrate, God can help you. There's not enough humility in the Christian life nowadays. Of course, I'm talking about the worldly churches out there. There's no humility hardly at all. But God honors that humility. If you'll read Matthew chapter 5, he'll tell you about it. Okay, anybody got anything else they'd like to talk about? Here's another little point. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, what are our options, Michael?
that's you know, sometimes, Don, the Lord has to take us there, you know, because we're not going to really do that unless he puts us in that position. But he does, and he always comes through for us. He dwells in those lowly places, doesn't he, Don?
Let me describe it this way. You know what? I'm falling down that shaft, you know, that deep, dark shaft, and I hit what I think is the bottom. I stand up, dust myself off, and say, boy, I'm so glad that's done with, and I step out and find out it was only a ledge.
Yeah, no.
I can't tell you the number of times in the last 15 years that's been my case, so. Oh, you're so faithful, man.
Yeah, I know. Oh, my.
You talk about humility, though, in all seriousness. I'll tell you, just to cry out and say, make me humble, man, he can't get you to that place fast enough in his mind, mm-hmm. The Father's. Because my experience has been is that's where he dwells. And if he can get us to that place, he can do anything. Mm-hmm. And humility excites me more than anything in my life right now. I mean, within the context of the kingdom of God.
Amen. You know, a lot of times, and I'm guilty of this, a lot of times we open our mouth when we ought to just shut up and listen. And that's been a problem of mine over the years. But God's teaching me. He's humbly teaching me, you know. But he's teaching me that that humility is born out by looking at God and his holiness and then looking at yourself. and how unholy you are. Because humility loves obscurity and silence. And that's been hard for some of us to grasp. It doesn't like applause at all.
Yeah, it's fact.
Amen. Here's a good poem, another poem of E.M. Bounds. I love these little poems that he's got in here. He says, let the world their virtue boast, their works of righteousness. I, a wretch undone and lost, am freely saved by grace. Other tide I disclaim. This, only this, is all my plea. I, the chief of sinners, am, but Jesus died for me. Praise God. You know, none of us worthy of heaven. It's through God's grace that he gives it to us. And why would anybody want to be proud anyway? Because you nothing you've done. It's all that God's done. God's done it all. Amen. Here's another good one. Oh, that now I might decrease. Oh, that all I am might cease. Let me into nothing fall. Let my Lord be all in all. Praise be to God. I like that one. Jonathan Edwards said this. He said, once as I rode out into the woods for my health in 1737, having alighted from my horse in a retired place, as my manner commonly had been to walk for divine contemplation in prayer, I had a view that for me was extraordinary, for the glory of the Son of God. As near as I can judge, this continued about an hour, and kept me the greater part of the time in a flood of tears and weeping aloud. I felt an ardency of soul to be what I know not otherwise how to express, emptied and annihilated, to love him with a holy and pure love, to serve and follow him, to be perfectly sanctified and made pure with a divine and heavenly purity. Oh, praise be to God. How many of you long for that glory of God to fall all over you? I know we've all experienced it at times. I want it to be in it at all times. Go ahead, David.
Remember what Tom Kruger mentioned, because you mentioned that about heaven, about just briefly about nobody really deserves to go there. But remember when Tom mentioned when he was in heaven, he says nobody there felt like they deserved to be there or should be there other than, you know, by grace, except the ones that had died and experienced hell for a brief moment or whatever it was, and the Lord was able to rescue him out of that and bring him into heaven. I thought he said something about that. Those ones felt like they belonged there in heaven. They knew they didn't belong anywhere else but heaven. Everybody else felt like they were, you know, it was just, you know, overwhelmed sensation of, you know, humility and grace and, you know, the grace of God to be there. But the ones that had gone to hell and the Lord was able to rescue them from the very last minute to get them back into heaven, those ones knew they belonged there. They had no doubt. I just want to make that comment. I thought that was interesting. I just saw that when you said that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I remember, boy, I'll tell you, the one thing in that whole thing of those seven youths that really impacted me was when they ran across that Mark guy, and they could read his thoughts, they could hear his thoughts. And he was saying, oh, I wish I could be like you. I wish I could be like you. I want to be like you. Oh, Lord, just give me 1 minute, just 1 minute, 1 second on earth. Just give me 1 second on earth, Lord. And the Lord asked him, he said, Mark, why do you want to go back to earth? He said, Lord, I take the worst place on earth. I'd be the poorest man on earth. It wouldn't make me any difference. But if you'd just give me one more second on earth, put me in the worst place on earth. And he said, because I want to repent and be saved. And the Lord told the youth that was there with him, he said, the worst place on earth is better than the best place in hell. Boy, that was an impact to me. To think, you know, and if you remember that, they had a place, a special place in there for Christians who backslid and didn't repent before it was too late. And it was 1,000 times worse than any other place in that place down there. And you see all of these, a lot of people running around just flippantly calling themselves Christian. And you notice those guys walked around and saw people who were Christians at one time down in hell. I remember Howard Pittman, a Baptist preacher, thought he was going to heaven. Lord showed him real quick. He was consigned to go to hell. Took him down there, but his grace and his mercy brought him back so he could tell the world about it. Praise God. Dangerous times we're in, folks, if you're a backsliding Christian. Dangerous time. But if you're true and faithful to the Lord, it's going to be the best of times. I believe that with all my heart. I believe God is going to take this remnant people that love the Lord and are running to Him, and we're going to see miracles like we've never seen before, like the world has never seen before. The world is going to be absolutely fearful of God's bride because of the power that God's going to will to them. But we have to be humble. We don't, any of us, deserve it. We have to be humble and be in complete humility at all times. Pray. Y'all pray for all of us. When you can, when you think of us, pray. Pray about us. Pray for us. We're in a war. We're all in a war. And it is a war. And it's a daily battle, too. It's a spiritual battle. It's a daily battle. You give up one day of no spiritual warfare, that enemy will try to take you out. Praise God. Well, Lord, I just... anybody got any prayer requests before we close it out tonight? Well, Lord, I just ask that you place it in everybody's heart to run towards you, Lord. To desire... to want to go to that next level, Lord, and that they we would sacrifice everything. Place it in us, Lord, to help us to sacrifice the time necessary to get to desire to get to that next level. And we praise you, Father, that you're going to do it. Father, we ask that next week you place it in everybody's heart to come to the communion table with holiness in their heart and righteousness. And we praise you, Father, for that. We thank you, Lord, that it's going to be an awesome time next Tuesday night. And we praise you, Lord, for all that you're doing in each one of us, in Jesus' name. Give us a good night's sleep tonight, Lord, and give us dreams and visions about the things to come. And warn us when the battle is getting heated up around us, Lord, so that we can spiritually get on our knees and fight these battles. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that. We praise you, Father, for the fellowship tonight. We thank you for the testimonies. We thank you for the confessions. We thank you, Lord, for blessing everybody tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, saints. We love you.